Gives a shite. Hello and welcome
Good
back.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the Awesome Village. My name is Greg and joining me is...
Ryan.
John.
I'm Glenn.
If you know where that little quote comes from, you know that we're going to be talking about Guy Ritchie. We figure it's topical because we just talked about The Gentleman on our last episode.
And he's got a new film coming out starring Henry Cavill. The what is it? The Gentlemanly Warfare?
Which I'm here for.
He's obsessed with gentlemen.
Well, apparently this is a real group that that was during World War II. Ian Fleming was in this group.
I love that Ian Fleming's history is basically
the Ministry
like,
of
I was a spy, and I'm going to write about spies.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Let's go for it. I'm here for
That's
it.
That's right. And it's Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, the what you call it, Jack Reacher guy.
Yeah.
Wait, did you know that he was on American Idol?
Alan Ritchson?
Yeah.
As a singer?
Like he tried out for American Idol. He didn't make it, but like
did he get on TV?
Apparently so. I don't remember him from this, but like he did a video recently where he sang and he still has actually a really good voice.
What kind of some music is like rock or country or rockabilly?
He's kind of like almost like a crooner mixed with a little bit of maybe mellow R&B.
He's probably just alright for me, dog.
People were talking about who they would pick to
Dr. Mbenga.
Oh, yeah. He's been in a lot of things recently I've kind of discovered.
I saw like a Reddit thread where people were talking about who they would get to play like iconic Star Wars characters that have been just from novels and stuff like that. And he was like overwhelmingly chosen to be Darth Bane.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a good actor. Plus, he's also just got the physique.
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars, real quick, as a little sidebar, are you guys caught up on The Bad Batch?
Yes.
Not yet for me.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's getting dark.
It's getting
God. They went dark, like
so dark,
really
the comic
dark.
Man.
It's good.
Child abuse and whatnot. It was pretty messed up.
Yeah, Cad Bane's doing some stuff.
Oh my God, it was insane.
And then that trailer for The Tales of the Empire.
Yeah, that was crazy. I explained that episode to my wife, and she's like, "And this is a cartoon for kids?" I'm like. It's kind of, the Star Wars, the Clone Wars, it's weird because sometimes very, very kid friendly, and then all of a sudden you'll just throw a few in there that'll be like, ooh.
Well, did you explain to her that it's a sequel to a show that was kind of meant for kids? So the ones that watch the Clone Wars are a little older now.
Well, she knows the Star Wars lore. She knows what was going on. I just don't. This is the first time we've seen it actually come out.
I love Crystal's innocence, and we must protect her as a nation. That's.
Yeah,
well, that's my
and I also would like to say about a cartoon for children, I have no knowledge of this. I don't know what the actual stats are, but I'd be willing to bet more adults watch The Bad Batch than children do.
I would love to know that, too.
I think you're probably not wrong, because it's the ones that grew up watching Clone Wars, which most of those are in their 20s and 30s now.
I'd be interested to see a study as a whole as to cartoons nowadays. Because, I mean, look at Japanimation.
Right, like...
There's a lot of people that are adults that watch that. That is an art form. How many, like something like the X-Men 97 that we talked about last episode. How many of the audience of that are people from the 90s that have grown up and are watching that?
So I have an 11-year-old son and I have a 17-year-old.
Fuck.
The 11-year-old, all he does is watch YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't watch cartoons. My Gavin, the 17, he watches The Bad Batch. He watches animated stuff.
My 13-year-old too.
It's like...
Yeah.
It's like it's not even for kids, and kids don't really watch it.
No,
anymore.
they're short form content.
Unless it's like Bluey or like really young kids, that I don't think like
Bluey's good.
Bluey is like look,
the Bluey just had a new episode and it had a twist that kind of spent my head spinning.
Bluey's got twists in it.
Yeah,
the last episode certainly
okay.
did.
Bluey compared to Peppa Pig, I'll take Bluey every day.
Absolutely.
Peppa Pig's a bitch.
She is.
Peppa Pig's got some funny characters in the show, but Peppa the character is awful.
She's a terrible yeah. Fuck that little pig.
No, Bluey, like, Bandit is my
I would turn her
animal.
Into bacon.
This is a perfect example of why I still maintain that we should record an episode and have no map. Because we just started this discussion and I had a little
We're supposed to talk about Guy Ritchie, which
right.
is about fucking Peppa Pig.
I had
and Bluey.
A sidebar about Star Wars. We ended up talking about how much Peppa Pig's a bitch.
We can bring this back to Guy Ritchie because Guy Ritchie adapted a popular animated film into a live action.
Yeah, I am not that familiar with Guy Ritchie's work.
Yeah, and so this is going to be an interesting episode because
Didn't
we're going
Madonna?
To do a...
He was married to Madonna for quite a while.
And they filmed one movie and it was one of the worst movies ever made. And
that's that Lost
Swept
at Sea
away.
Shit.
Swept Away.
Which at the premiere, Guy Ritchie went up to some reporter and said, get out of here, this movie's fucking terrible.
Wow.
So it's perfect segue into the fact that the best character in that film is the credits. And we're going to be talking today about Guy Ritchie. A friend of mine at work, and I mentioned this last time, talked about how Guy Ritchie's characters are so interesting. So we're going to do a little tournament, but in a slightly different way, about Guy Ritchie characters. And what we're going to do is we're going to make our case to Ryan, who's not very familiar with this work.
I have seen two Guy Ritchie films.
Which ones?
Sherlock Holmes and Aladdin.
Just the first Sherlock Holmes.
The first one. I never saw the second one.
Oh.
Okay.
So, I mean, the benefit of this is that it's not a situation where we're going to get into a tie.
Because we got an impartial judge.
We have an impartial judge. And I like the concept of this, too, because we're just kind of laying it all out there. And it's going to be the purity of the character that was created. So.
It's a dictatorship today.
I like it.
So we picked, the three of us, not including Ryan, have picked eight characters.
Like our favorite characters.
Our favorite characters. So not all of his movies are represented here. Some of his movies are represented more than once here. And we've kind of split them up a little bit, kind of randomized them. And we're going to go with this.
Let's fucking do it.
And then after this tournament, we're going to give you a good box set if you want to familiarize yourself with Guy Ritchie films to prepare for his new one coming out. With
All right. So the first one is... Bullet Tooth Tony. From Snatch.
I love his name.
Played by Vinnie Jones.
What?
Do we want to go into who he is, or do we want to do the two names first?
Do the two names.
All right.
And then Vinnie we'll talk Jones. About him.
Is he the one who in Eurotrip who says, if you're not a mank, you're a wink?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. And the other character, nothing at all alike, is Princess Jasmine from Aladdin.
Oh, wow.
Played by Naomi Scott.
Naomi Scott.
All right. Tell me about this Vinnie Jones guy.
Well, okay. First of all, Bullet Tooth Tony is a character in Snatch that what I remember most from him is him describing to another person, a very intimidating scene where he describes how what he has is a Desert Eagle 5.0, which should precipitate your mincy bowls into shrinking. He's a very intimidating presence on the screen. And though he's not in the movie a ton, he is a character in the film that leaves an impression.
Okay.
So yeah, in the movie Snatch, someone comes from the United States and is trying to find another individual. And Bullet Tooth Tony, he's kind of a bounty hunter, finder. Like he can find people that don't want to be found. And the way his character is introduced, there's a car phone ringing because this movie was made in the 90s. So a car phone's ringing. And he's smashing a guy's head in the door.
He's smashing a guy's head in a door over and over with the door.
And then answers the phone with "Bonjour."
Okay, so am I picking who I think?
Who's a better character?
Who's a
more interesting character?
So now,
would win in a fight or anything?
No. So are you going with Bullet Tooth Tony? You want anything else you want to say?
And the reason he got his name Bullet Tooth Tony is because he's been notoriously hard to kill. And at one point, a guy shot him with like all six shots, I believe, out of a revolver. And it didn't kill him, and he just stood up and pulled out a machete and killed the guy. And then he took the bullets out of his body and had them made into false teeth that he has in his mouth. So that's why it's Bullet Tooth.
So now Princess Jasmine. Yeah,
sell me on her.
Okay. So this was an adaptation of a popular Disney cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
However, Guy Ritchie, as you'll see from this list, he's primarily known for British gangster films. And this was an interesting...
interesting choice by Disney to have him direct this.
And the way he directed Aladdin was very interesting because he directed it and shot it like it's a Bollywood film. And I think Jasmine might be the most of the characters, other than maybe the genie, because they had to do something different with the genie because of the unfortunate passing of Robin Williams. The Jasmine character goes through she goes through a lot in this film. And they make her very headstrong, as she was in the cartoon.
So that was what I was going to say. I don't think that this character is dramatically different from the cartoon in one sense. She's almost like... I would say she's a more fully developed character than Aladdin is.
Oh, absolutely.
And in this movie, they take it a step farther. Like, she's a person who... she's ahead of her time.
Right. She knows that she should be the ruler, but she can't because of the laws of Agrabah. Her and Jafar, Jafar has a thing for her, and I think she kind of knows it. But
and he has mascara.
Yeah, and, she knows how smart she is. She loves her tiger.
This is easy for me.
And, like I said, she just... I like the way Greg put it. She's a woman ahead of her time.
Yeah, this is definitely Bullet Tooth Tony.
Oh, fucking... first surprise, because this is from the movie Ryan hasn't seen.
Well, as much as I love Jasmine, like, Disney's got lots of headstrong princesses, but I've never heard of a character like this guy.
Then you need to watch some Guy Ritchie movies. I think, you know how Glenn went on that sojourn through Nicolas Cage films? I think Ryan needs to go on a Guy Ritchie.
I might.
We're going to have a box set to...
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
To recommend. All
right. What's next?
So the next is... The first character is Solo.
Solo.
Not to be confused with Han Solo. Frank Solo.
That's right. So this is another kind of adaptation. There was a popular... Is it a 60s?
60s show, yeah.
Television show. Called The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was a spy show of the 60s. And Solo is a character played by Henry Cavill, and he is a very suave, sophisticated...
thief.
That's right. He's a CIA agent named Napoleon Solo.
Oh, Napoleon Frank.
His first name's Napoleon?
Yes.
What did I say, Frank?
And he gets paired up with a KGB operative named Kurenkin, which is played by Armie Hammer.
We don't talk about him.
But Napoleon...
He's a cannibal. He eats people.
I'm surprised that Henry Cavill made it out.
That's right. So,
he's a lot of meat.
But the way that Henry Cavill plays this role that was written for a TV show in the 60s...
Is he like James Bond?
Honestly,
I kind of see like a do-over for him for James Bond. Like, he was in the running for James Bond before Daniel Craig got
it. Oh, really?
He was. And I kind of see this as like, you know, what he would have done with the role... And he's really fucking cool. Like, he's like the old style Bond.
Yeah, he's very... You're right. Because, in fact, there's a certain scene that I always think of when I think of Man from U.N.C.L.E., where the CIA and the KGB agent, they're on this specific mission, and they're on this boat, and one of them, like... Napoleon falls out the boat as Armie Hammer's driving around with all these explosions. He gets in this car and finds this dude's dinner, I guess. It's like a bottle of wine and a sandwich. He just turns on the radio and sits there, and he's eating the sandwich, listening to the radio, drinking wine, as all these explosions are going on, and his partner's trying not to die.
Sounds very Bondish.
It's very cool.
What I love is it's effortlessly cool, like the original Bond was, like Sean Connery's Bond was, like all of them.
I got an idea, I think, of this guy.
All right, so the other character is Turkish, who's from Snatch as well. And he's played by Jason Statham,
who the transporter himself.
Who Jason Statham's been in several Guy Ritchie movies.
Right.
And
so you want to describe Turkish?
Turkish is if you had to pick one, he's the protagonist of Snatch.
And he's probably the smartest character.
He's probably the smartest character, and he's doesn't always have the best of luck with things in it. And
he's kind of paired up with his best friend named Tommy.
Tommy.
And Tommy's kind of the wild card, I guess. Yeah. And Turkish is the smarter one.
Turkish is the smarter one. And they're gangsters.
Well, they're boxing promoters. Boxing promoters.
But yeah, they're London underworld, let's put it that way. And I don't know how else to describe Turkish. I mean,
he's afraid of more than that.
Yeah. Okay,
his life is on the line in this tournament, John.
Okay. All right, so Turkish, he kind of gets in over his head with some other British gangsters. He doesn't have any money. He's trying to figure out, because he's backing his prize fighter is this guy named Gorgeous George. And his whole thing is he goes to buy a new camper.
Caravan. It's a camper, but in England they call him a caravan.
And they come up to this pack of gypsies who they swindle him. And let's just say Gorgeous George goes down hard. And Turkish needs to figure out how to make some money quick.
Yep.
And he gets in over his head with some pretty unsavory people.
Yes.
But again, he's very intelligent, so he's trying to work his way out of this. It's a predicament. I mean, what else can you
do? Oh, that's a complete...
And also, just like that,
representation.
He's Jason Statham in it. I mean, Jason Statham always puts a little bit of himself in all these movies.
And this was kind of the first big thing people recognized.
Yeah. Well, I saw this movie before I saw Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and I think this is more of a promotion for him from the first movie. Guy Ritchie clearly saw something in him that made him want to take the protagonist role in this.
Okay. All right.
Is that the end of this?
Is that your story?
Is that that's your story?
Yeah, I think I know where Ryan's going.
I'm going with Henry Cavill.
Okay.
Napoleon Solo.
Turkish, y'all keep saying he's smart, but he keeps getting fucking horrible predicaments. He ain't that smart.
Well, because he has
bad luck against Henry Cavill.
And he's paired up with this Tommy guy who's the hothead.
He ain't that smart. Gotta cut this guy out.
So the next one we got on here is from The Gentleman, a character played by Colin Farrell, who's just known as Coach.
Coach.
Okay, the introduction of this character.
Not Kirk T. Nelson.
Not Kirk T. Nelson. No, definitely not.
Doesn't coach at Minnesota State?
No.
No.
This character is introduced in like a little kebab shop, and he basically is in... I almost say that you mentioned in our previous episode falling down, but this kind of reminds me of what we would all want to do if there was a bunch of idiots in a place. And you kind of see this guy standing there, and he reacts to these idiots in a way.
Just that, tell me.
Well, he basically beats the shit out of them. Well,
because right. What are they doing that business?
They're basically going and antagonizing the
owners
of the
shop. They're just like kind of young punk assholes.
Yeah.
Just
millennial coming, pricks.
Yeah, and right. They come in and he just kind of talks shit to him a little bit, and one of them pulls out a knife, so he immediately just smacks the knife out of the kid's hand and slaps him around a little bit.
But then Coach also, he's kind of, it's interesting because, well, one, he dresses like he's 90 years old.
Yeah.
And
he dresses like Uncle June.
So tell me about it. Like, who is he? Like, is he a criminal?
Not really. He's a boxing coach, and he basically runs a little boxing gym where he takes in kids, kind of troubled kids off the streets.
He's a younger version of Mickey from Rocky, kind of.
But he uses these kids to do some, like, people would hire a coach if something needs to be done. And
yeah.
These kids will do anything for him.
But sometimes they'll do things that are stupid that they shouldn't do.
He's got a darker side to it.
Correct. A little bit.
Okay, I got it.
But he's got kind of a heart of gold.
And basically, the kids do a bunch of stuff to get in trouble, and he just kind of has to correct their situations the best he can.
By any means necessary.
And it's Colin Farrell with the full Irish accent, you know, like, in Bruges. And I mean, and he's great. And the way he says, they make a video of something, and he keeps on saying a film. I don't know, that just makes me laugh every time he says the word film.
Okay, I think I got an idea of this guy.
Okay, and the next character is Sherlock Holmes, played by Robert Downey Jr.
So, and the way that Downey Jr. plays Sherlock Holmes, you get to see kind of the way his mind works.
So, what's interesting about his portrayal of Sherlock Holmes, it comes right up against the Benedict Cumberbatch version of Sherlock Holmes. And I think what they focus on with both versions of this character, and I'd be interested to talk to Bruce about this, is the more like clearly Sherlock Holmes being almost on the spectrum that we know nowadays.
I like that. Yeah.
Where he has the ability to kind of see things other people don't, and that's why he's so talented at detective work. And I think like this movie is kind of what almost I would say pioneered. That's a long pour, Ryan, and I love it.
Sound effects.
I love that they kind of portray him as this was the first time they kind of used that slowing down of time and him kind of mathing through this is how everything's going to go and I'm going to let it play out.
Because even like the way they portray him where he gets into that like boxing match where, for no real reason, he just wants to see if he can figure out how to beat this guy that's obviously stronger than him.
Yeah. I don't even know why, but that's what I of the two films I've seen, that boxing match is all I really remember. Like, that stuck out.
You need to
go
watch that movie again.
That stuck out to me because it felt so un-Sherlock Holmes.
What I love about this movie and this character is, first of all, Robert Downey Jr. was on his career rise back from Iron Man and everything. But this movie keeps you constantly interested, and it leans into, you know, the detective work of Sherlock Holmes. I think, you know, you see a good foil in him with Jude Law's Watson. But Sherlock Holmes, you know, kind of doing certain things that we would consider ridiculous in order to kind of solve a case.
I find that the boxing match is almost more Sherlock Holmes than anything else because when they slow it down and everything, all his reaction, whereas somebody that's just a really good fighter, yeah, they've got instincts and stuff and maybe can see stuff coming, but the way he just calculates every little thing is that Sherlock Holmes.
I'm not a Sherlock Holmes aficionado, but the Benedict Cumberbatch performance to me is the best I've ever seen.
See, but Sherlock Holmes is a character.
And I don't know if that's authentic to how he was written.
But that's my point, though. I think Sherlock Holmes is one of those characters, and we see this a lot with like Batman.
The Joker, definitely.
The Joker, where you identify a certain performance that speaks to you. Holmes is a long-standing character.
But
Superman,
then like,
Batman, Spider-Man.
But kind of like the Joker, there are different versions of the Joker, but they're all the Joker.
Exactly. Right. Over the long period of time,
so
you have your
own version. So it's kind of the same thing with Sherlock Holmes.
This is hard.
I mean, there's the animated fox.
Here's the other thing, too.
It was a rat, right? That was in the animated The Great Mouse Detective. Mm-hmm.
But I would point out this. Your version of Sherlock Holmes that you're alluding to takes place in modern day.
Right.
Whereas this one is very similar to that version, but takes place...
Yeah. This is a tough call, but I... to me, I felt like the fact that they it felt like a different version of Sherlock Holmes that I had seen before, and I appreciated them trying something new. I'm going to pick Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
All right. The next character we've got is One Punch Mickey, played by Brad Pitt, also from Snatch.
All right, so, you know, when we were talking about...
So basically what I'm getting from this is I need to go watch Snatch.
You definitely need to watch Snatch. Yeah,
there's a lot of memorable characters in Snatch.
One Punch Mickey is a character. He's a they refer to him as Pikeys in the movie.
And they're basically, they're Irish gypsy travelers.
And his whole thing is like you can't understand what he's saying.
Kind of purposely, though.
Yeah.
They talk like that on purpose so that they can kind of...
He's basically fast. He talks like this. He wants someone for his mom, pairing blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when we were talking to you about the Jason Statham character, One Punch Mickey's family who they go to buy the caravan or the camper.
Do we know why he's called One Punch Mickey?
Yes. He is a very famous gypsy bare-knuckle boxer, and pretty much after one punch, people are usually not.
He's famous in the gypsy community. Like, other underground boxers don't know who he is. They just think he's... Because, I mean, he's pretty skinny in this movie, too. I mean, he's like... pretty cut, I guess, but I mean, he's really skinny.
So I'm assuming he gets introduced to normal people and they can't understand what the fuck he's talking about.
And it's really funny.
But the other thing, too, is that he, the one punch aspect, he does this one punch from many different angles, fully fucking inebriated. He comes out of situations where he shouldn't be able to do this one punch knockout, and he's able to accomplish
it. And he's introduced in this fight where this huge guy is just throwing him around and knocking the shit out of him, where the whole time he's just kind of tying his shoes and taking his shirt off.
Stretching,
you know, cracking his knuckles, you know, doing all this stuff as this guy's throwing him around and knocking the shit out of him. And then he just stands up, punches the guy once in the face, and he goes down and he's almost dead.
All right, I got the gist of this one. Next, all right. Who's he fighting?
It's the last one. Ray, who is he's in The Gentleman, played by Charlie Hunnam.
God, he's so hot.
And he's hilarious in this.
He's really good in this movie. And he plays... Matthew McConaughey plays the main character, Mickey Pearson. And he's basically like his...
Fixer,
and I guess if they... It's not really like mafia, but if there was a consigliere, it'd be him. He's like his advisor, his right-hand man.
His job is to be ahead of things.
So, yeah. Advisor to who again?
Matthew McConaughey. He's like the main, like the drug lord.
And he's playing Matthew McConaughey, basically.
Yeah.
And he's kind of his introduction. Like, Matthew McConaughey's the American expat.
Yeah.
Charlie Hunnam is not. So he's kind
Charlie
of
Hunnam's
like
the British one, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost he has like an OCD where he likes things clean. Yeah, you can't wear like shoes in his house. And he wants everyone to smoke outside. And he's very. Very meticulous, and I think that plays into why he is always ahead of people.
And there's people in it that are intelligent people that are trying to get over on him and just don't realize as they're talking to him that he's 10 steps ahead of them all the time. And he's very just smart and calculated. He's just really cool and like...
Yeah.
He's got a laid-back personality.
Dresses
really well. And
he's got a machine gun in his coat.
And he's just very...
Kind of out of nowhere.
And he's very... tough, but at the same time, you know, it looks like he should be sitting down for a business meeting, like
he's kind of a caged beast, I think.
Yeah.
His cage is the suit.
Yeah. I like that.
Brad Pitt.
One Punch Mickey.
It's close.
I'm okay with that.
But I'm going with originality here.
All right. So, you can, in this next round, you can ask us maybe for more information if you need to, because these are all characters now that we've already explained to you. So now we've got Bullet Tooth Tony, who is the Vinnie Jones character,
mm-hmm.
versus Napoleon Solo from Man from U.N.C.L.E., who's mm-hmm. the James Bond type.
If I had to go with...
Do you have any questions?
I don't think so. I mean, Bullet Tooth Tony... It sort of seems like he would sort of be like the Bond villain against this
He'd
James
be
Bond.
More of a henchman, I would
Yeah,
think.
This James Bondish type character. I think I got to go with the Tony guy.
More original creation. I'm okay.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, because Napoleon Solo is a character from a 60s TV show.
All right, and then we got Sherlock Holmes versus One Punch Mickey.
This has got to be One Punch Mickey for me. This character just seems very interesting.
Did it come down to Snatch?
I feel like this One Punch guy, I feel like they can do a spin-off movie about this
dude. They totally could.
Yeah.
With the whole, like, his whole, like, group of, like, gypsies.
Yeah, like, yeah. That sounds like they could do
All right, so Bullet Tooth Tony versus Mickey.
I think I got to go with Mickey. Right. I just think his character
I'm
is
okay
so,
with that.
The fact that he talks to a way that you can't understand him. And
in fact, if you watch the film on DVD or whatever and put the subtitles in, there's one part where it's just question marks.
Also, if you put the DVD in, there's English and all the other language, and there's Pikey, where the subtitles will only come up when he's talking. And sometimes it'll say what he's actually saying, and you can, oh yeah, I can kind of make that out. And sometimes we're just a question mark.
I generally watch most films with subtitles on at home, so I'm curious to find this movie.
He's kind of like Alfalfa when, you know.
And again, I've said this before, there are a lot of podcasts that do a lot of comparisons. I don't know if anyone's ever compared One Punch Mickey with Alfalfa.
Look, I'm here for it. I'm here to enrich lives.
I mean, has any podcast ever compared Bullet Tooth Tony with Princess Jasmine?
Hey, we're here. We're here to right. challenge
you. We are one step ahead or jump
so,
ahead.
So One Punch
one
Mickey,
jump ahead of the...
That's right.
One Punch Mickey is going to be our winner of the Guy Ritchie characters.
Correct.
And now we're just going to kind of go around and we're each going to name a Guy Ritchie film that we make like a little box set. We're each going to name one and then we'll do one that's
And then we're going to do one for The Village, which Mickey won.
Which Mickey won. So yeah, the one for The Village that I think we all agree on, even though Ryan is probably going to watch it very soon, is Snatch.
Seems like it's a good movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie. So Snatch is the one for The Village. That's what we all pick. But let's go, Ryan, since you've only seen a couple, what is your pick of the one from the
I really loved Aladdin. And the main reason is Disney, when they started doing those live action remakes, I think the first one was The Jungle Book, which.
Or was it Cinderella?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Well, anyway.
I think it was
The Jungle Book, I think.
The Jungle Book, I thought was great. And then the next one I thought was Beauty and the Beast, which is like one of my all time favorite animated films.
I think Cinderella was next.
Well, Cinderella and Jungle Book, one of those were first, one of those were second.
But anyway, I remember like. It started like Cinderella, which I thought was
fine.
I mean,
if you don't count like when they did the Glenn Close 101 Dalmatians and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Beauty and the Beast, I did not like. I know it was very popular.
Really?
First of all, to me, not only is Beauty and the Beast my favorite animated film, it's one of my favorite films of all time. And I did not feel like they honored the character of Belle. We'll get into that. That's another story. But anyway, out of all of them, like, every time I heard Disney's doing a live-action remake, I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. Lion King, I was like, that sounds great. Turned out to be a piece of shit. But when I first heard they were doing a remake of Aladdin, I was like, this is a stupid idea. This movie's going to be terrible. I would argue it might be the best live-action remake that Disney's done.
Yeah.
Like, straight on live-action.
I was so
Aladdin is my
away.
Favorite Disney animated film. And I was so worried about this going into it, but I completely agree with you. I love that live action remake.
It was so surprising. And
here's the question. I know they got Will Smith, and he did a great job. He made it his own. Had Robin Williams still been alive, would he have done the live action?
I don't think so.
I don't think he would have been like the genie. I think he would have did it like a side character. He maybe would have been the Sultan.
Well, because they kind of made... There was the stage version, and the way Will Smith played him kind of took a little from the Robin Williams part and a lot from the stage version. The genie. But anyway, so you would pick a lot.
I pick a lot.
Right? I would pick The Gentleman. This is a movie that, honestly, I didn't see it when it came out, and I was kind of... I feel like Guy Ritchie had been kind of on a little bit of a lull.
When him and Matt Vaughn parted ways, because they paired together for a lot of films at the beginning.
Including Snatch, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
And yeah, Glenn just bought this movie. He just saw it. And he's like, "Hey, you want to come watch this one?" It was one night. I forget our wives were. They were out doing something.
Yeah.
And we're like, "Yeah, why not? Let's watch The Gentleman." And we were both just like blown away by how good this movie was. It's got action. It's funny. It's
memorable
characters. Memorable characters that are just great characters. And this might be, I don't know. This might be either this or Snatch are my favorite. I'm not sure which one.
When we watched it the other recently. I couldn't take my eyes off it. My wife didn't want to leave for work. We literally sat there. I'm like, I will watch this again. I knew like 20 minutes into it that this was going to be one of my favorites. But
yeah,
absolutely great movie.
All right, so it's my turn. And again, Guy Ritchie has done a lot of British stuff, gangster stuff. But his adaptation of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I thought was so unbelievably cool that I have to pick it. Army Hammer be damned. The way Henry Cavill played this Napoleon Solo character paired with Army Hammer's, Russian KGB guy, But Alicia Vikander was in it, and I thought she was great. Elizabeth Debicki.
Whatever happened to Alicia Vikander? I feel like she kind of came and went.
Yeah, she did the Tomb Raider thing, which was good. But then she—I mean, she's married to Michael Fassbender, so
She's probably doing that.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just, you know, there was just a very cool, like, throwback 1960s feel to this. Like, maybe, you know, Mad Men had been going on at the time, and it was just very topical, I think, some of the 60s, like, spy stuff. And, again, just the pairing of the CIA and the KGB agent, it was just, I thought it was a really fun spy film that I wish more people would have saw.
And my pick for this box set will be Sherlock Holmes, because I don't think we would be remiss if we didn't put this on there. I know it has stiff competition from the Benedict Cumberbatch show, but this is a really good version of that character.
How's
I know
the sequel?
It's not bad.
It's not as good as the original.
First one, but yeah.
I think the original has the element of surprise where we didn't kind of expect it. The second one...
The second one does have Jared Harris as Moriarty.
Yeah.
He's very good as Moriarty.
Yeah, it's really, like, what I love about that, too, is the tete-a-tete between them. It's almost to a point where all the stuff you see that Sherlock does, like, his version of Moriarty does that, like, the opposite way.
Yeah.
So they can't really, it's a stalemate.
And it gets into some World War I stuff, right, the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that first movie, I just remember going to the theaters and watching it and just leaving full of joy. And if you're, I mean, we've talked several times today about the original things that that he's done, but Guy Ritchie also does really great adaptations.
He does.
Was it who played Mycroft? It was the dude with the crooked nose.
Stephen Fry.
Yeah,
love him as an actor. Which, by the way, Ryan, when you go to watch Snatch, you can see it on Prime Video.
I already looked it up.
All right. So our box set is Guy Ritchie.
Aladdin, Sherlock Holmes, The Gentleman, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and Snatch.
So we said Snatch you can see on Prime Video. Aladdin you can see on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's an Army Hammer film, so let's see
the
if it's anywhere.
I don't think it's actually streaming anywhere because I recently bought it.
Yeah, I bought it too. Like, so, I think you have to purchase it, but yeah. It's, look, let me tell you, if you're going to spend your money on something, spend your money on that.
Yeah, I think when I got it, I think it was like $7.99.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Man from U.N.C.L.E. you have to rent it or buy it. So
I have that on the Blu-ray.
So do I. But, I mean, you can find it wherever you can rent anything.
Yeah.
So. And his new film is the Ungentlemanly Warfare film, which
the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
We should, like, as a group go see that. If I didn't have something to do on Saturday, I'd say let's go do it Saturday. But
yeah, it's let's see when it it should be opening very very soon. It's April 19th that opens. So
okay. Nice. Well.
So yeah, so when this episode drops, it opens this Friday. So
cool. Look, we've had a lot of fun talking about this. I can't wait to hear Ryan's reactions to some of these movies.
Yeah,
that's the thing that I think.
Yeah, in future episodes, you're gonna have to fill us in on your Guy Ritchie journey.
I'll take it.
And remember, guys, if you want to help us out here at the podcast, there's one thing that you can do for us, and it's free, and we'll never ask you to do anything else. That's just to follow us on Spotify or other platforms. Really helps us out. Helps the algorithm get us out to a lot of other people. Let's us keep doing what we're doing. And there are other places that you can find us, like
follow us at The Awesome Village Podcast. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X. You can watch our videos at awesome.village.pod on TikTok.
All right. It's been another great day. This has been Greg,
Ryan,
John,
and I'm Glenn.
We will see you next week.